his light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page and greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Acts chapter 10. Acts, A-C-T-S, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, A-C-T-S, Acts chapter 10. The reading begins at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Starting once again, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that called not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Read once again, Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Thus, we, you and I, have read Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do not call any man common or unclean. Do not call any man common or unclean. Do not call any man common or unclean. Our topic for this worship service. This particular scripture relates to us the true account of actions that occurred after the crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Holy Ghost has fallen on the people at Pentecost, and apparently all that were there were Jews. And so they knew that the Holy Ghost was for Jews, or particularly for those who were the Jewish believers who had become Christians. They were aware of that, having received the gift of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. But now this is a new thing. This is a centurion who is a Gentile. He is a soldier, a high-ranking soldier who is not a Jew. And it was the assumption of the early Christians that the Holy Ghost was not for the Gentiles. They understood the special position that Jews held in the economy of God, that God had called them out and made them his people. They perhaps understood that, well, yes, now he has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. But from the reading of Acts chapter 10, it appears that they had no view of the Holy Ghost being available to Gentiles. My friend, God loves everybody, and God wants everybody to be saved. Those of us who are Christians must realize that that is our job. There are people who are so quick to cast off others because they are not good enough, or they are low class or low level, or they are not this or that, or they are rank sinners. Do not call any man common or unclean. Apparently, the Jews on whom the Holy Ghost had fallen had assumed that there were some men who were common and unclean. You see, they were Jews. They were special unto God. But Peter says here in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." A Christian who is truly saved, a Christian who really has the Holy Ghost, will look down on no man as being not good enough. Every human being is good enough. And we are in a world of the moneyed, of the multi-billionaires, of the, as some have called, filthy rich, who see themselves as being the upper crust and the top of humanity. But every man is as good as the richest billionaire. Every man has worth that is as good as the richest billionaire, and will say something to you. There are some who are supposed to be millionaires and even billionaires, but their companies worldwide have a negative bottom line. The red ink is profuse, and therefore if your bottom line is zero, you are richer than they are. But we are not talking about capitalism. We aren't talking about capital or money. We're talking about the intrinsic worth of a man. It always has bothered me when people look down on others. I defer. I take the part of the downtrodden. I take the part of the people that other people cast aside. Some people laugh at the super fat. I take their part. I'm for them. Some people laugh at those who are thought to be super ugly. I take their part. I am for them. It bothers me when somebody think they are so this and so that. There are women who think I'm so pretty. When I approach a woman who I think she thinks she's so pretty, everybody is looking at her. I refuse to look at her on purpose. You think you are better than somebody else because God has blessed you with a beauty. No, I won't look at you because you think you are so pretty. You are no better than anybody else. And I'm not being mean to you. But the moment I think you are so much better than everybody, I will focus away from you. I seek the downcast, the downtrodden, the outcast. That's who I seek. The Holy Spirit leads me to seek that kind of person. And the Bible bears it out here. Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." You hear me preach a lot here about people who participate in homosexual activity, which I believe is totally against God. I believe that homosexual activity is an abomination. God says it. But it is my desire to talk to those people and let them know I love you in my heart. I love you and I want you to know that God loves you. I love you and want you to know that God wants the best for you. I love you and want you to know that God wants you to be all that you can be. I love you. God loves you. You are not less than. So you hear me talk strongly about the activity of homosexual people, those who do the homosexual activity. I do put down the activity because it is sin, but you've never heard me put down the person. You will never hear me put down the person. Peter said, "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." I will come after you with the word of God for your sin, regardless of who you are. But you as a person, I'm trying to rescue you. I'm trying to rescue you from Satan's clutches. Do not call any man common or unclean. That's why it bothers me when I hear of cities, particularly in the capitalistic United States of America. When I hear of cities and towns in the capitalistic United States of America saying you can't beg on the street unless you have a permit, I always thought that was absolutely wrong. You mean no one can beg unless they go to the government and get a permit? That is not the pattern that we see from God's special people, Israel. They had beggars by the wayside, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was standing by the wayside begging. There were people who stood by the gate of the temple begging. Beggars were allowed in Israel. But now we've gotten so big, we've gotten so good, we've gotten so bad, and some have stolen so much money for themselves, they are ashamed that there are those in their community who have to beg. I believe God will curse. I can't say it for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if God would curse a town that says you can't beg. And that curse will probably be borne out in other people who think they are so rich losing their jobs and having to become beggars. It's no mystery to me when people start losing their jobs and having to beg after they've said, "You can't beg in this city unless you get a permit from us." Who do you think you are? But for the grace of God, there goes you. And you're going to tell somebody else that they can't beg. We live in a community that some of the people think they are pretty whatever. We went to a community meeting. Some of them will hear me and not like this, but it does not matter. I tell the truth to everybody. Went to a community meeting and they said, "Well, we want to put a sign at the entrance of our community that says, 'No soliciting.'" And I jumped up and said, "Wait a minute. What do you mean, no soliciting? Who are we that somebody can't come in and solicit? Who do you think you are? Who do you think we are that people can't come in and solicit?" "Well, you know, we are trying to keep the community safe." I know that. But when you shut out people, that's dangerous. They passed it. They went ahead and passed it. But my record stands in heaven. And they thought I was disrupting their meeting. They thought, "Well, what's wrong with you? And I guess they really think, well, you don't belong here, son. You are in the wrong place. But I wanted them to know that it offended me when they decided that people can't come into this community and solicit. That's why the United States don't call laws. Offend me. They offend me. I have a long history of having been in sales with major U.S. companies. I understand that salespeople must call people. I was a sales division manager for one of the biggest companies in the world. It may have been the biggest company in the world then, and we relied on calling people on the telephone. And you're going to tell me in the great capitalistic United States of America, nobody can call you? Well, it's an imposition. They bother us. The devil is a liar. You see what has happened? They made it so it is difficult for you to make a living now. You can't start a store and make a living because you have the big box stores that are worldwide and globalized. They are taking all the business. You can't compete with them because their prices are so low. And then the farms, most of those have been gobbled up by the big money people. So you can't start a small farm and make money because you can't compete with the big farmers. And now you can't go out and sell and make money because they got a don't call. Then you can't email anybody because you can't email them unless you have a relationship. But we have enough money to get their name, so if you pay us, we'll email them for you. The devil is a liar. So in the capitalistic United States of America, you can't call, you can't email unless you know them. You can't start a business hall and make it because you competed with the big money people. You can't start a farm and make it hardly because the farms are so big. The devil is a liar. Greedy, ungodly capitalist. Greedy, yes, I'm calling you a greedy, ungodly capitalist. And then you have the audacity to look down on those. Well, if they tried, they could make it. How are they going to make it when you own all the land? How are they going to make it when you own the big box stores? Well, they can work for us at Walmart. So you can employ everybody at Walmart, right? Right? How are they going to make it when you own all the farmland? You see, that's what the devil does. Well, they can work in the factories. How are they going to make it when you have transferred the capital and the factories overseas? And then you're going to say, well, you know, they want government money and everybody wants government money and we can't do that. And you are sucking down the money and you are big time multi-billionaires. And you are saying, well, they just don't work hard enough. The devil is a liar. You are the liar. You are the liar. We are not crazy. You are the liar. And not only are you the liar, when you've tried to bring down a nation this way by sucking up all of the resources, you become a traitor. You are not a patriotic American. When you suck up all the resources, when you take our resources and take them overseas, we've helped people for scores and for decades. It is not that the U.S. doesn't want to help people. But when you suck it all up and you take it overseas and leave us with no jobs and no way of making a living and then talk down to us and then up our retirement age make it hard for us to make it and make it so that in a capitalistic society money is so difficult to be made, you are unpatriotic. You are not a patriotic citizen. You are a traitor. You are a traitor. There are traitor billionaires. There are traitor millionaires. You are a traitor. I am a loyal American, but you are a traitor. Anyone who configures this nation for its downfall, anyone who configures the United States of America for its downfall is a traitor. You are not a patriot. You are a traitor. Well, Paige, what do you know about traitors? I know a lot about traitors. What you don't know about me is that I used to be a commissioned U.S. Army officer. And I was a commissioned U.S. Army intelligence officer. And I taught at the U.S. Army Intelligence School. And I did investigations as a special agent. And I was good, Jack. I was good. I know what I'm talking about. I know a traitor when I see one. And if you are configuring this nation for its downfall, you are a traitor. You are a traitor. Peter said, "The Lord, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." When you suck up the resources and you think nobody else needs anything but you, when you take the resources of a nation and carry them to foreign countries and leave that nation configured for its downfall with millions and millions and millions of people unemployed, and then use the ungodly trickle back philosophy of economics, it never trickles back. It never trickled down. That was wrong way back then. I don't care what your political party is. Trickle down does not work. Trickle back from overseas does not work. Does not work. That's why things have been so bad. What's the bottom line, Paige? You need to understand that God says no man is common and unclean. No man is common or unclean. And when you let the poor suffer, God will take his part. God will take his part. Well, Paige, what does that have to do with Cornelius? Well, this is a salvation scripture. It shows that God wants everybody to be saved. It shows that God loves everybody. It shows through Cornelius and the Gentiles that were with him that God's best, what's God's best, Paige? God's best is the Holy Ghost. God's best is for everybody. Oh, you want all the money. You think God's best is for you because you think you are better than everybody else. But God gave his Holy Ghost to the Gentiles right in the face of the Jews that came with Peter from Joppa. And they had to admit that those people then should be baptized. And they baptized them in the name of the Lord. Call no man common or unclean. Every man is as good as you are, no matter who you are, no matter what their color, no matter where they have been or haven't been, no matter whether they are homeless or not, no matter whether they're in prison or not, every man is as good as you are. And now flipping this over, those of you who are crooks and you decide you want to go out, I'm not talking about the rich now, I'm talking about you regular run-of-the-mill crooks who don't mind killing people. God loves every man. And when you decide that that man is not good enough, I can kill him, I can do this or that to him, I'm going to wipe him out, you are offending Almighty God. I'm not talking about the rich now. I'm talking about everybody else. Those of you who would snuff out somebody, who would shoot somebody, cut somebody, poison somebody, those of you who would take somebody's life, you have no right. God says, thou shalt not kill. Those of you who say, well, they're just common people, and the Lord knows they're like brute beasts. They're just common Africans. They're just people who are natives, and you snuff them out. Peter said, God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So you need to be careful how you treat every human being. Careful how you treat every human being. Finally, for the church, salvation is for ALL. Salvation is for all. Salvation is for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is on a mission to save the world. God is on a mission to save the world. That's what your church is about. That's what your church is about. When you get upper crust and somebody walks in with no kind of clothes on and dirty and homeless, and you look around about, well, why did he come in here? The devil is a liar. That's the place to come. It is not your house. It's God's house. It ain't your house. So why would you try to keep somebody who is a creation of God out of God's house? I don't know why they came in here into our church. It ain't your church. It is God's church. If it's your church, then it's the devil's church. You and the devil have it. But if it's God's church, then it ain't your church. So if it's your church, that's you and the devil. But if it's God's church, it's for everybody. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. God's house is the house of prayer. Said nothing about what they're wearing. As a matter of fact, James talks about the clothing. Somebody coming in and don't have on what would be considered good raiment. James talks about that. Some of you don't read the Bible. You have church, but you talk about two or three scriptures and you don't read the Bible because you have your own little thing and you don't want anybody else in. Like a hospital. Won't let anybody come in unless they're well. Oh no, that person's sick. They can't come in here. That person got AIDS. That person got tuberculosis. That person got cancer. They can't come in here. We are a clean hospital. You are no good hospital. You are no good hospital. You are no good hospital. That's where people come when they're sick. That's where people come when they're sick. The church of Jesus Christ is where people come when they are sin sick. And if they can't come there, you are like the hospital that says you can't come here if you're bleeding. You might get blood on our floor. You can't come here if you have cancer because we don't let cancer people come in here. You got tuberculosis. You can't come here. You might give it to somebody else. If you got AIDS, you can't come here. You might give it to somebody else. What good are you? In other words, you are calling somebody common or unclean. And Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, Acts chapter 10, verse 28, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So I know I've said a lot. The Holy Ghost is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. God loves everybody. And when you decide that you are better than somebody else, you are ungodly. Whoever you are, if you think you are better than somebody else, you're ungodly. Now you say, well, Paige, I heard you say, I'm not like you all. A lot of the mess you all do, I won't do it. But intrinsically, I am not trying to say I am better than you are. I am not trying to say that. I'm trying to say I will not do the sin you do. I will not do the sin you do. But I am not trying to say I am better. But there are people who think they are better. Peter said, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Well, what's the conclusion, Paige? You heard what Peter said. Salvation is for everybody. Get them saved. Whoever they are, get them saved. But on a human level, treat everybody with the utmost respect. Those of you who are racist. There are those of you who are uppity. I have encountered you. I know you when I see you. I watch very closely. They are the uppity. They are the racists. They are those who, because they are in a certain class, they think they are better. I'm always glad when I'm not invited to be in your better class. I'm always glad when I'm not invited to your better events. I always say, thank you, Jesus. They didn't invite me to their better event, where only the better people could come, where only the upper strata could come. I thank my God when I don't get invited, and I shout hallelujah, because you are vile, because you think you are better. Peter said, God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Well, who is Peter, Page? He is the man that God sent an angel to Cornelius and gave him his full name, Simon Peter, and told him where he was living and told him to send for him. That's who Peter is. That's who Peter is. Well, who is Peter? He is the man that God chose to come and see and say and preach to Cornelius, the Gentiles. That's who Peter is. A man chosen of God. And what did he say? Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, on a mission for Almighty God, on a mission, a special mission for Almighty God. What did Peter say? But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is light to guide Alfie, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.